Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is wonderful to be here with you today. As you have seen throughout the service, I am using sign language as well as spoken language to convey the message of the gospel through song, liturgy, and sermon. It is my hope that you will begin to see the gospel as well as hear it. But this seeing is so important because of those that use sign language as their only language and do not use English. It is to those dear people that this service is calling us to remember. Our text today is from Ephesians 2. In all reality, this little text is so good that it could almost replace the Apostles' Creed. It tells you all you need to know about yourself, about the world, and about God. Sometimes it is easy to get lost in our life of comfort, to remember the reality that surrounds us. Today, we are recalling that reality. First, let's take a long, hard look at you. Paul makes a statement that is so astonishing, it is worth taking a second look. He says, "You were dead." Now that's something strange. You clearly are not dead. You can move and breathe, you can think and figure things out. How is it that Paul is saying, "You are dead"? Well, it isn't the fact that you can still move. You see, Paul says you were once walking. So you were moving, but you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That means these sins and trespasses are actions of dead people. You see, death is not just physical. It's true. It will occur physically as well as spiritually. But God promised at the beginning that if Adam and Eve ate of the tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die. Well, that did happen. They died in their souls, and their bodies would soon return to the dust from which God had made them. So it's true. You may be moving and breathing, talking and thinking, but in reality, you were all dead when you were conceived. Paul doesn't leave anyone out. Second, Paul looks at an even deeper and seemingly more evil part of our reality. Satan. He is real. His name here is the Prince of the Power of the Air. That's a strange name, isn't it? Yet it shows you that Satan is powerful. In fact, he is the spirit at work in all of the sons of disobedience. You see, most people think there is some neutral position between Christian and being satanic. Maybe there are people who are spiritual. We like to put them in kind language. They're agnostic. They believe there's something out there. So at least they have a start. But that is the exact opposite of what Paul is telling us. You are either with him or against him. The evil spirit, Satan, is at work in all those who are not Christian. There is no neutral ground. As Jesus stated most clearly, you are either for me or against me. And this may be why, in the time of Luther, at baptism, there was also an exorcism. So we too were once part of these people that were enslaved to Satan, who worked in us all to inflame our evil desires and to destroy one another. Paul tops all of this off with a clarity that cannot be matched. You were by nature, that is, at your very core, children of wrath. You were children of Satan. You belonged to the one place that was fit for you, hell. There's no question about this in Paul's mind. You were, at your core, an evil person. Paul doesn't just condemn you. He states clearly that this terrible fate belongs to all of mankind. It is the entire world that stands condemned before God. Now that isn't all. It isn't finished. Here, Paul says, now God. You see, the story up to this point is your story. It is all that you are capable of. All of your dreams, all of your aspirations. You have seen before this point everything that is possible with humanity. Paul has exhausted the great human pride. Now, it is time to see what is possible with God. Now God, He is rich in mercy. And because of the great love with which He loved us, He made us alive together with Christ. If you can imagine for a moment God speaking in the darkness, in the same way He spoke at the beginning of creation. Let there be light. But this light is the light of Christ rising in our hearts. It is the life that has now spread into all humanity. You are alive. This is the same as saying you are with Christ. Yet that is not the whole story. You would think that it's enough to be made alive, but God is not satisfied in just making you live. He wants to give you true life. Life that can never end. Life that pulses with an energy that is connection with God Himself, the author of life. You see, you are seated with Christ now, today. You are in full fellowship with His Son. That isn't all. He will show you even more in the age to come. He will show you His immeasurable riches in Christ. And this is why you can look around you and be free from everything. Because in Christ, you have everything. The closer you cling to Christ, the more you have. This is faith. It is the relationship of trust. It is the trust that we have because God came to us here at this word that you are hearing in your ears this morning. Faith is being awakened in you. God is calling you to life. He is imparting this faith and strengthening you in it. It is as if you hear the voice of your mother and father reminding you of who you are. Their words become your strength as you remember who you belong to. This faith you have is a gift. You couldn't create it on your own. You can't sustain it on your own. This would be like trying to love someone even though you never spoke to them or saw them or spent time with them. It is here, in this place, that you receive the gifts of life everlasting. is at this altar that you receive strength to keep you in this weary place. Strength for your tired soul to continue in the work that He has already set out for you. You are His creation, made alive with Christ forever. So may the grace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto life everlasting. Amen.